I want to speak this morning of revelation of resurrection. Revelation of resurrection. Now, we have much in this church with regard to the cross and its teaching. And you have been taught from the Word over the years that as you take it up daily, you follow Christ and walk, that Christ deals with that self-life, the self-life which is man's worst enemy. The cross deals with this. And we've had much teaching, and we will probably continue to do so. But God also, in the light of the cross, wants to give more with regard to it. Because the cross, the death, resurrection, is the central theme of the gospel. You cannot separate it in one's teaching. It is the good news to a dying world. And as we go on and progress in this walk, we're going to find that more and more is going to be revealed with regard to the cross. And this morning I want to emphasize with regard to the resurrection side of the cross. We've had much with regard to the death, and death should indeed be taught, because God has to bring you to the end of yourself in your trials, in circumstances, also whether it be in healing and deliverance. The cross is there to bring you to the end. And the end, as we know it, means that death to the self, that death where you no longer feel you're in control anymore. That death to the self where it almost seems I give up. There's nothing left. There's nothing I can do. It is hopeless. It is finished. That is what we mean by death. We mean by death when you no longer can cling on to anything. When all the props you thought were there now have totally gone. That is the death. That is death that must take over. Whatever God is doing in your life, death has ultimately got to kick in, come in for resurrection to take over. And sadly today, human nature, being like it is, will emphasize on resurrection, but is not prepared to pay the price for death. And there's no shortcuts. Discipleship is following Christ, putting your hands to that plow and not looking back. It's following Christ on his conditions. He is Lord. And this is why we have so much compromise amongst Christendom today, because people want to follow God on their own terms. And they don't want to learn from the Word of God that God is most sovereign and you do it his way. Because to try and do it your way simply hinders and gets in the way of God's redemptive plan. We've had much about that, so I'm not going down that road today. But God has graciously given us, and he's going to give us, a teaching with regard to resurrection. Because he knows what goes on in this assembly. He knows at times the pressures can be immense. Whether it's emotional, psychological, physical, whatever it would be, God knows how far to allow us to go. And by allowing us to go just that far, and when he says that is enough, it goes no further, that is the point of which death has taken over and resurrection will come in. Exactly the same with Jesus. When Jesus hung upon the cross, the Father, his Father, knew exactly how far to take him. To the point of when he had come to the end, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a cry in his flesh. That was him coming to the end in his flesh. Not in his spirit, his faith. but in his flesh. And at that point, the Father said, enough. And what took over from that? Death, resurrection. And that is precisely what happens in your life and my life. All those that are pressing on into the deeper life. And I want to just at this point to go over some scriptures again we know very, very well. Now, why did the Apostle Paul boast in the cross? Galatians 6:14. Why did he boast in this? He said, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Was he actually boasting in the cross in itself? No, I believe it was more than that. He was boasting in the result of what the cross was achieving. And as Paul was experiencing from the death into the resurrection, then the resurrection was revealing what the cross was doing. Hence his boasting. His boasting wasn't exactly in that death side, although yes, the death side says to count it all joy, but his boasting overall was in its resurrection work. I note again what it says here. His boasting is, whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. His boasting of the cross, the revelation that he experienced and was experiencing, was that the world was no longer holding him. That he was not a part of it. That he was of another kingdom. He was of heaven. Just like Jesus said and experienced. And so that cross that you take up daily, the cross is going to work that in you until you come to that place where you truly have that revelation experience that the world no longer belongs to me, although I'm actually in it, but I'm not of it. And that is where your boasting of the cross comes in, of what it's achieved, what it has done in you. And that is what Paul is doing here. He says, whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. So the cross has crucified the world, its controls, its fears, its unbelief, its lies, its deceptions, everything that it propagates day after day, the cross crucifies you to it. Now, he couldn't remain in death unless resurrection was bringing the revelation of the experience of what the cross was doing. If you're in death, that means you're dead. Period. But if resurrection comes as a result of that, then you see what death has done. Now, of course, we know ultimately the good news of the gospel is that Christ came to destroy death. That is, its destruction in taking man to hell to those that believe in Christ. And so a new life, a resurrection into heaven. But for the believer who daily takes up that cross and follows Christ, and who walks totally by faith, says you can start to experience some of heaven now. You say you can? Yes, the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why did Jesus ask his disciples to pray, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if he didn't intend to start to fulfill his will on earth? Why, he would totally contradict himself. No. This is why we believe in healing, deliverance, salvation. The gospel is preaching is to the whole man. And so Paul here, to the death to that self-life, is experiencing that the cross has crucified him to the control a manipulation of the world. That's ultimately it. That is what I sense in my heart that God is doing with each one of us in this church. He is delivering us from the world, its threats, its fears. He's setting the captives free so that you walk fearlessly, that you're able to walk in the Spirit, that you are not affected by man's threats, which of course is the devil really, who only goes around like a roaring lion. Can you see ultimately what this is doing? This is the revelation of resurrection. The world, of course, I mean that everything that pertains to it. Let's look in Galatians 2:20. Again, we know this so well. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is the revelation in this that Paul is receiving and experiencing? He's not saying, I will be crucified with Christ, or I could be crucified with Christ, or I'm hoping to be crucified with Christ. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. That simply means you settle it. That is in revelation. That is something that is revealed to you by the Spirit. You are crucified with Christ. Now you need that revelation. You need that light. And what is that light? Well, if you're crucified with Christ, then you're resurrected. There's a resurrection experience that has come as a result of that. A seeing. So Paul is seeing that he's crucified with Christ. It isn't him that lives anymore. It's Christ who lives in him. And the life now which he's living in the flesh, he lives by faith for the glory of God. And he does it because God gave his life for him, for you, for me. So there it is again. He's got that understanding, that revelation. It's being worked out in his life day by day. And we have stressed this, that you must know this, as you've not settled it. Paul gives the clue of the revelation of the cross in 1 Corinthians 18. Again, this is revealed to him. He starts to give its revelation. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, which you know again, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Right. So if you take the teaching of the cross and you preach this as the Spirit leads you and guides you, you will see those who are saved and those who are perishing. How do we know? Because those who are saved and are being saved will embrace the message and the teaching of the cross. And Paul is giving one of the clearest discernments of or tests that you can see, or any minister can see, by the attitude of the people with regard to the cross. And sadly, in my experience, I have found many professing believers who have resisted the teaching of the cross as the Bible presents it. And I can only conclude, as the Apostle Paul says, therefore, to them, that message is causing them to perish by their resistance. But to others who embrace it, they are signs that they are receiving that revelation and resurrection that comes to that death, to the self-life. Can we see this? It's quite clear, these tests. They're all there if we want to really see them, but we don't always want to see them because the emotions get in the way. So here is what he says. And that is why this teaching of the cross is foolishness to many. They will never understand it and they will never see it. Why? Because the revelation of resurrection is not revealed to them. If they're not prepared to die to the self-life, however are they going to see? That is the whole question. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. And that is the central theme of the deeper life. You cannot have a deeper life teaching if you do not have the cross. Because that is the door that you enter through into the deeper life. The deeper life has to be that you die, that he lives his life in and through you. John the Baptist saw exactly what Christ's message that was going to be laid. He saw it clearly when he saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He said, I now must decrease and he must increase. He saw the revelation of the cross. The deeper life. There it is. It comes out. How did he see that? Well, it wasn't given to him by flesh and blood. It was given by the Spirit. And that is the whole point. How about in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians 14 to 16? But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is that you die daily. And in that death, you receive revelation. And revelation is your experiencing of the mind of Christ. To experience the mind of Christ, you've got to die first. And we're all wanting the mind of Christ, but we're not prepared to pay the cost for the mind of Christ. As I say constantly, this walk is free, but not cheap. It will cost you everything. And so, resurrection teaches the things of the Spirit. The light that you have today, where you are spiritually, can and has only come as a result of death, which brings resurrection. Resurrection brings the teaching, the light of the gospel. And so as the gospel, as it's preached under the anointing, that deals with the heart, with sin, unbelief, and as you're prepared to allow the Spirit to crucify you, to bring you to the death experience, then the resurrection is the light and knowledge and understanding. Can you see how it works? So your light in receiving, your seeing what you see today, has cost. It doesn't just fall on you. There's a price. And that is why so many are not prepared to pay the cost to receive this light. Or they all want revelation. And you hear a lot of it coming out. I've got a revelation for you today that's going to blow your mind. I've heard these preachers come out with it. And when you listen to it, it's anything but. And it's not to say that some are not genuine. The reason being is because any revelation, any light, has cost. Death has had to come first before resurrection to be able to see. Now, of course, we can impart what God is doing with us. And many times what it's cost me or what I have gone through, I don't want you to have to go through that. So that is how the church, the foundation truth, is built. As I keep reminding you, we're here today because of some whom the gospel has cost their lives in martyrdom, shedding of blood. So this resurrection, as we have seen, raises us from the dead. Now, we know that ultimately, the resurrection, in the last day, there will be two. There will be a separation from the sheep and the goats. There'll be a resurrection unto heaven, the first fruits, and the other a raising up and a casting into hell. So you want to be in the first resurrection. And we've shown you that in the first resurrection, there are aspects to the first resurrection. Now, the first aspect to the resurrection now is being quickened to the overcomers, the first fruits. And we are getting light, revelation, that physical death that will not touch the bodies of overcomers, for they will be translated, they will be caught away. But for that to be achieved, and for you to be those wise virgins, that death-like work has to be fully accomplished. Where you have come to that place, that I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. You have to come to the resurrection, that light, that experience. And that is ultimately what this message and teaching is doing for those who will be caught away. So there's a first aspect to the first resurrection, this catching away. And so resurrection is the central theme of the gospel. It's the good news. Now, of course, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in citing here in 1 Corinthians 15:21, speaks of resurrection because he speaks ultimately of what Christ has done for the world. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. So he's speaking about those who physically die. There's the hope, because most die in the flesh. Most. But the overcomers won't. They will not taste of that physical death, but will be translated. And that is what God is preparing and working now through the Deeper Life teaching. But resurrection is the heart of the gospel. Hence, that's why we have so much teaching on it. Now, I want to break this down into various areas now, what I've just really introduced to you. And I'm trusting now that you're beginning to get an understanding of what death, when death takes over, what happens afterwards. And that is, resurrection begins to work. Now, ultimately, when resurrection is working, and it is an ongoing process, this resurrection work is part of being saved. Ultimately, resurrection ultimately has got to resurrect that group of overcomers. There's a point when the world, sin, unbelief, can't any longer hold the true bride of Christ. Can you ultimately see now what death is doing in bringing about resurrection? It's actually bringing about the translation of capturing and taking us away when Christ first appears in the clouds. Can you see this? This is ultimately the resurrection. This is the great reward for the overcomers. Because not all are going to experience this. We know clearly from Revelation that the woman that's left will go into tribulation and great tribulation to be purged, to be tested by the Antichrist. So, bearing that in mind, I want to look at these areas that we at present are going through, are facing in our everyday walk. So you'll be able to put your name and address to some of these things that come out. But the first one, for healing, deliverance, death to self has to come first. And resurrection is the healing. For you ultimately to receive your healing, your deliverance, death has to come first, and resurrection is your healing. That is why God works and uses the physical trial. And that is why very often when we receive our healing by faith, ultimately, yes, we look for an immediate manifestation. And we have been taught over the years that if the manifestation isn't immediate, by faith you have received. Mark 11:24. And in that time of waiting for that manifestation, you have found and are finding that God is doing a very deep work of deliverance. And you are finding that in your healing, whatever area you're believing for, that often you find that there is further healings of deliverance that God is ultimately working. And so you soon begin to see, as death is beginning to work, that your healing is a bigger thing than you actually realize, and more is incorporated. You see? Now, some of you are nodding your head because what I'm saying is your experience. But in that waiting, a death process has to ultimately take over. Because death means that it destroys sickness, disease, corruption. That is what death did for Christ to be raised in purity and holiness. It had to take death to bring to death the power of sin and corruption, and to be appeased and covered by the blood of Christ. So death, the sign of death is the spilling of blood. And death deals with sin. Death deals with the devil. What can sin, what can Satan do with somebody who's dead? Can't touch you any longer. But the promise is that resurrection takes over. And what is resurrection? The resurrection is deliverance. The resurrection is healing. The resurrection is that God proves he's faithful to his promises. That is resurrection. So every time when you have received a manifestation of healing, death had to come first for resurrection to take over. And there's the promise. Can you see now there's far more to this teaching of the cross than ever we've even realized? Yes, our teaching of death to the self has been absolutely right and still is. But we're going to start to see this boasting in the cross as we now begin also to see its resurrection and what it achieves and what it does. Otherwise, this can be very negative, and how Satan can use it. And it can so be very introverted, very inward looking. And there were times when it was happening in this church where we were becoming a religious and inward looking, because all it was death to self-life. And amen. But what about the resurrection? Because death, resurrection, resurrection, death bring the balance. And Christianity is all about balance. God is about balance. His creation is about balance. Your life is finely balanced. And that's why God hates man tampering that balance. It's what he does. When it fills you with all these drugs and these tablets, it's affecting the balance, the chemical balance in your body. The reason I bring that up, heard a report this week, which we have been preaching for nearly 30 years, that they're now concerned about all these pills now and drugs that are being given out to people, and that they're affecting their balance now. Affecting them. They're becoming so reliant upon them and so forth. We've been saying that for years. Where is common sense? You ask yourself. The slightest little pain, and you run and get a pill. We are so pampered today. And it's affecting the psychology, the emotions, the balance, the mental side of man. Because he's so dependent now upon drugs, it's working paranoia. They're now beginning to see it. We have said this for years. Praise God, you are delivered from this. Well, there's one that believes it. No, our problem is that we wrestle with that we just look at death. But you, all of you, are in a death experience. You're heading toward it rapidly, quicker than you realise. Now start looking to the resurrection, what it's going to achieve. Thank God beforehand. Praise God. That's where the rejoicing comes in trials, because that rejoicing is seeing that resurrection will take over. This will not last forever, even though it seems as though it is. You see? And you can count it then all joy that the Word of God tells us to do. But you're never going to count it all joy if you haven't got a revelation of resurrection. You'll just be miserable, morbid, religious, and then people will say, well, I don't want to be with that lot. All they ever talk about is the cross. No. Thank the Lord for resurrection. Well, secondly, in spiritual warfare, death has to work first, which incorporates waiting on God, prayer, and then resurrection. Some of you are despondent about warfare. Some of you don't still take it seriously. And I tell you why. Because death first has to kick in. Then the authority to deal with the powers of darkness then takes over. Because that's resurrection. That's light. That's revelation. That is God revealing to you, this is the right time. This is the time to move forward now. Use my name. Use the weapons that I've given to you, and you will see the enemy flee. But of course, you see, we've all tried to run before we can walk. We're not all prepared to wait in that trial, in waiting on God, in prayer, intercession, pressing through for the ultimate warfare to take place. And at the moment when warfare starts to take place, that authority in the spirit to address demonic powers, the very devil himself, that is the point resurrection has taken over. Again, that principle of death dying has to take place first. This is why I keep saying to you, faith, when you confess a promise of faith in the Word of God, very often pain is accompanied with it. What is that? Well, it's working a death first, and then the manifestation comes. That's the way God has ordained it. If you're not happy with that, you take it up with Him, because I can only preach it as the Word of God presents it. But he's got a reason behind that, and that's the wisdom and mind of God. I think one of the things that's behind it, just one that I think he's revealed to me, is that by appreciating when manifestation does come, that gives God all the glory. And that you realise, when you see a testimony of healing, deliverance, or whatever it, you know, it is, we can rejoice and clap and praise God, because that has cost. That has meant, first, death has had to have been achieved with that saint for resurrection. You see? So you appreciate it. You realize that there is a value to that, that silver and gold can never buy or purchase. So, for warfare, spiritual warfare, it very often may require prayer, may very often require fasting. A waiting on God, a pressing in, until you come to the point, this seems hopeless. It just seems as though the powers of darkness have taken over. There's no more strength left in me. I don't have what else more to say. You cry out to God. But what's happening? God's working death. He's still in control. And then suddenly, it's like you rise up in a new anointing. You rise up with a revelation, an insight. Suddenly It's like the veil's taken away from your face and you begin to see exactly what those demonic powers are that are working. And then the word of knowledge just comes into operation. Discernment comes into operation. You're seeing. And when you're seeing for a reason, because God says, I've opened your eyes to see it. Now you use my name against what I'm revealing to you. That is spiritual warfare. And you have to learn it. But some are not prepared to pay the price to learn that. As I said, there's no easy way around this. But I'll tell you something, when you start to rise up and address the powers of darkness in your prayers, and you speak to them, and you begin then to see that separation, and God moves in on the scene, I'll tell you, it begins to stir you up. You realize this does work. See, the enemy doesn't want you to do this. Can't you see this? So he'll play on that death side all the time. He'll keep you in the realm of the death, because that's his realm. That's where he's going. He doesn't want you experiencing resurrection. And so people, ministries, religions that have taken the cross to such extreme, the reformers that took the cross to such extreme, what do you see of the cross today? Those crosses up in churches with a dead Christ hanging on there. That's what the message of the cross delivered in bondage religiously has done. And that's what would happen in this church if God in his mercy didn't show that with death comes resurrection. Thirdly, for the greater works, the church has first to die, and then resurrection. We want the greater works, we believe for it, we have been shown it. It is what the church is being prepared, trained for the greater works of this last day. But the church has got to be prepared to die first, to receive the resurrection of the greater works. And that will sort out those wise virgins and foolish virgins. For those wise virgins are prepared to go all the way unto death in order for resurrection to bring greater works and God's promise. Can you see it again? And that's ultimately how it's going to be. Because God has to bring an army of people to the end of themselves in which to move with Christ, to use his name, the authority of his name, the power that is invested to the church. He has to have an army who will move at his will, bid, and command. But that's going to take a death to the self-life and for resurrection to come in. You see? When Christ rose from the dead, he still rose in obedience, in complete submission to his Father's will. How do we know this? Because he remained still upon the earth for 40 days. And it says the Bible, it can't even be contained in the word of God what was being achieved and happening in those 40 days of resurrection when he was still around. But we get enough to see what was happening still with his ministry, and it still didn't stop there. He still is totally yielded by that resurrection that took place in his life to go now and be at the right hand of the Father as an intercessor, and to still continue to minister and supplicate before the Father. That has to take resurrection to do that. Because he could have quite easily have gone back and sat in glory where really rightfully he should be. But he has chosen, still with that servant-like nature, to even serve us now, even though he's resurrected and glorified. But that took the cross to do that. So do we honestly think it's going to be so much easier for us? The gall of it. How much more? And a work of grace. You see. No, the greater works will only come first when the church dies and she moves then into resurrection. And that's why Jesus' ministry ran on that same principle. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Even though he was always there, there was to come a time, slain, resurrected. You see? You see, he was slain from the foundation of the world. He was that Lamb, because a Lamb was to be put to death. But the revelation of resurrection, its revelation was to be given at a time when God saw right, the resurrection was to be revealed through the church. That's the good news that the Apostle Paul was giving to, not to the Jews first, and then the Gentiles. That was the revelation. Otherwise, it would just be a message of a lamb slain. But God can't keep a lamb slain. That lamb had to rise to a new life. And so, my friends, as I bring this now to a close, we have got to look to the new life, to resurrection. And you can only look to resurrection, to what is revealed to you thus far. And if you stay with this, and as death works and as death takes over, you are going to have more and more light of resurrection personally revealed to you. Not only revealed to you from the Word, but revealed to you experientially. I believe the final reward of the bride meeting and marrying the bridegroom has come as a result of resurrection. Death first had to take place in order for her to marry. It hasn't come cheap. And no one can rejoice and count it joy unless there is a revelation of resurrection. I'm convinced of that. And resurrection is our faith, and resurrection is ultimately the deeper life. And that is why we have made much about death to the self-life. Because that is what it's going to achieve. That is what it's going to do. That is why it's so powerful. That is why the church experiences this Greek word that we use again, this dunamis power, dynamite power that raised Christ from the dead. It is that same power that the church in the last day must experience. It's a power that defies death. It's a power that defies the enemy, his threats, his unbelief. It's a power that defies sickness, death, demonic oppression, you name it. Why do I say that confidently? Because that is God's power that raised Christ from the dead. And it is God's power that is in this church and is in your life as he works that resurrection in you.